Okay, we'll start here at the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Bet. We'll quickly review the last piece that we did yesterday because it flows into today, which is five lines up from the bottom. It says, "Boy, Rabbi Elazar, parim nisafim, usarim nisafim, shiatzaru b'o b'miut ever." The rove of the parim nisafim, usarim nisafim, have left the azara. The question now is that rove was brought about by the miut of one of the limbs. A minority of one of the limbs is what was goreim it, caused it to have the majority on the outside. Mahu, what's the din here? Hach mi'uto de ever barta ruba shadinale. That mi'ut of the ever, do we then force it to go with the rov ha'ever? The rov ha'ever is inside. So that means that the mi'ut should be dragged along and also be classified as being inside. V'hano nafkale. And the rov ha'ever didn't go out yet. So the mi'ut should be classified as it's still in. And then it won't be a rov anymore, that's outside. Odilma bata ruba de behema shadinan, or to go based on the rova behema. So Gemara says that's pshita. The lo shevginan ruba de behema vazlinan bata ruba de iver or ivarim. That we don't go after the rova iver when it goes against the rova behema. Rova behema governs over here, and since the rova behema is on the outside, the fact that it's a mute of an iver makes no difference. What's the nafkamina of its inside or outside? Rashi claims that the issue here is that mit askim b'otzat ruban, those that are involved with it, the inyan tuma begadim michutz l'machaneh bay. We need them to leave the machaneh in order to come to me. We're going to see that at the end of today's daf, that you have to leave at least one machaneh to have tumat begadim. So the question here is, have they left already? Has the behema left the azara or not left the azara to be mitamei begadim? That's what Rashi claims. Tosafot claims, though, the issue here is about the Srefat, Harim Nisrafim, and Sirim Nisrafim. We know that there are three places that they could be Nisraf. There's in the Mikdash itself, the Azara, on Harabait, or out in the Beit Adeshin. So between the Azara and Harabait, we discussed yesterday in the two Breitot whether it had to do with which type of psul, when the psul happened before Zrika, after Zrika. In addition, Tosus adds here, another factor is where it is located when the psul happens. So if the psul happens and it's in the Azara, then maybe burnt in the Azara. If it's already bov b'chutz and there's a psul, then you would burn it on Harabait. So the determination of rov here is where you're going to burn it. Are you going to burn it in the Azara? Are you going to burn it on Harabait? So now the Gemara says, amends the question, and says, Ella, this is the question. Yitzach etzio b'rov eiver. It's 50-50. 50% inside, 50% outside. Except that the 50% on the outside incorporates within it rov of an aver, rov of a limb. So now, hi mi'uto de aver, what do we do with the mi'ut? Do we bat the rov aver shadidin lay? Do we say, well, the mi'ut should go after the rov? Rubo kukulo, so that's as if the kol aver is there, and that would make the rov now be on the outside. Ba'anaf eklein has gone outside. Oh, dilma batar behema shadidin lay. We go after the behema. We go after the behema, it's 50-50. And it will remain inside, or not as if it's not outside now, and then the Gemara leaves that as a teku. Here, the Gemara does not say, oh, how could you leave rov behema to go after rov aver? That's because over here, there is no rov behema. We're doing the 50-50 case. So we're not leaving rov behema to go after rov aver. We have a question. Do we go after behema, period, or do we have to rove aver, and that the Gemara leaves as a teku. So now, Rabba bar Rav Huna, matli la begabre mit askim bo. Rabba bar Huna amended the question, same question, but he talked about the numbers of individuals that were working with it. For instance, chamisha bnei adam, there were five people carrying the parim nisafim or sim nisafim atzai. V'nafku tlata upashluhu trei. Three of them already exited the azara. Two of them remain in the azara. So we said before in our Mishnah that they become tamei as they leave. Those that are outside are tamei. Those that are inside are dormi. So here you have three outside that are Tamei, two inside that are Torahs. What's the status of the Parim and Sefim and Sirim and Sefim? But a rov mit askim azlinan?
So we don't go after the behema itself?
Oh, so that's the question. Do we go after the rov mit askim azlinan? Upatar behema azlinan? That's exactly the question. Do we go after the people carrying it, and they determine since the rov on the outside, the behema is classified as being out now? Or do we go after the behema itself, which is what you were asking? The behema itself determines for the people, they're Tamei when they're out, the behema is Tamei when it goes out. The teku.
These people went out and then they came back in and then they were...
No, they were continuing out in the process of going out. Three of them are on the outside, two of them are on the inside, and they stopped for a second. So now, what's the status? Tosa says that it'll determine where you burn it, depending on where you could... Is it outside the Azara or inside the Azara? Rashi will say that once the Behemah comes to me, it affects everyone to be Metamei Begadim. So now, is it classified as being outside already? And those people, even on the inside, will become Metamei, according to Rashi. Bayra Balazar, Parim, Usirim, Parim, Usirim, 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 Us chazru mahu. So this is a little bit about what your question was asking. The behemoth went out, and then it came back in. What's the status? Is it mitamei, anybody who gets involved with it now, the tamei bigadim, or does it lose its status? Only when it's outside the Azara does it have that status. Back in the Azara, it doesn't have that status. Mi amrinan came into nafke luhu, itmiluhu. That since it went out, it's mitamei, and that's it, we're done. O dilma, came into hadur, hadur. But on the other hand, is it, once it came back in, it's in. So if it's in, then it doesn't classify to be mitamei bigadim. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mama Tashma. Hayusovlim oto bimotot. This is our Mishnah. They were carrying it with the poles, with the staves. They were carrying it out. Harishonim yatzul chutzlot mrat azara. The first group of individuals that leaves the azara. Vachornim lo yatzu. And they did, the latter people in the back have not yet exited the azara. So there, Harishonim shiatzu chutzlot azara mitamim begadim. Those that have left the Azara already are classified as being carrying outside the Azara, and they're mitamei begadim. V'achronim, ein mitamei begadim asher yitzu. But the achronim do not take on tumah until they leave. V'isal kadatcha, kevin denafkiluhu itmu. If you suggest over here that once it's left, it becomes tamei, hanach de'ik gavai litamei. Then those that are still left on the inside should automatically become tamei. Because the Yitziyah for Tumat Bigadim is talking about the par itself, that is leaving the Machaneh. So once the par is chutz the Machaneh, then anybody who's in contact with it should become Tameh. Why should it matter that those two individuals are still in the Azara? The fact that they're in the Azara should have no bearing. It's when the par is left. So now you have the Rova par is outside. The par is now outside the Azara. Those that are left in the Azara should automatically become Tameh. But the fact that they do not become Tameh, then it shows us that bringing it back into the Azara would solve the problem, would take away the Tumat, and that's why they are Tahor. Just like if you brought it back, it didn't be Tahor. Certainly, if these people who didn't leave yet are still Tahor. So that's what the Gemara wants to prove from our Mishnah. So, Amar Ravina, Vitisbura. Is that really true? Habi'ina, Bachar Yavo ala Machaneh Veleka. Because there's a requirement for Kibbutz Bigadim. This is by the Tarat HaMitzora. The Tarat HaMitzora, it says, Ve'achar Yavo ala Machaneh. That after he's Mechabes Bigadav, then he can return to the Machaneh. That means that for Tumat Kibbutz Bigadim, you need an ability to return to the Machaneh. It means you have to have left at least one Machaneh. If you're still in the Azara, then you can't be called returning to the Machaneh in order to do the Kibbutz Bigadim. So that means that the Tumat Bigadim is Talui with you leaving the Azara. And that's why those that have yet to leave the Azara do not fall into the category of becoming Tamei Bigadim, because they can't say about them, Bachar Yavo Ala Machaneh. They're already in the Machaneh. He says that conclusion is the right conclusion because of this principle. Since you can't have the Tumat Kibbutz Bigadim, Kevin Lokarinam Bei, Bachar Vlo Yokarinam Bei, Yichabes Bigadav. Ravina is making a point, Vitisbro, that this is the reason why they're not Tamei Tumat Bigadim, because they haven't left the Machaneh yet. So now, what's Rabbi Elazar's question? Rabbi Elazar's question is, when you bring it back in, or you take it out? Well, it's obvious now from what Ravina said that if you're inside the Azara, then there's no Tumat Bigadim. So what's his question? Of course, if you bring it back in and the people are inside, there's nothing to talk about. He says, no, Rabbi Elazar's question is like this. They were carrying it out on rods, but it's an interesting situation in which they took the behema out and then they came back into the Azara. Now you have individuals on the outside now who are going to take hold of the behema and they're going to take it out. But they're standing outside already. So they're outside, but the behemoth's on the inside. What's the status of those individuals on the outside now? Do we say since the behemoth was once outside, anybody who gets involved in it on the outside now is tamei, even though the behemoth's inside? Or do you say that bringing the behemoth back into the inside, does that change the whole status of behemoth to tahor again? And only until the behemoth leaves again, will those individuals on the outside become tamei? So that's the question here. These new individuals on the outside, who are now being mitasek with taking the behemoth out, what's their status? Do we have to wait for the behemoth to leave in order for them to become Tamei, or just they're coming into contact with the behemoth that was once outside, is that enough for them to become Tamei? And that was the question of Rabbi Elazar, and that question is different than the question we posed before, where Ravina said that, of course, if they're inside the Azara, there's nothing to talk about. Of course they are Tahor, there is no Kibbutz Bigadim inside of the Azara. Here the question is that they're on the outside, and that's why there's a question over here.
Why the one of the guesses on the top, who said if there were five and three were out and two were still in? Because it was taken. But according to Ravina, they didn't leave yet.
Right. So according to Rashi, it's much more difficult. Rashi says we're talking about Tumat Bigadim here. So then, right, the Tumat Bigadim, we know that if they're still on the inside, there's nothing to talk about. So according to Tosafot, it's a different question. It's a question of whether you're sorry if it's on the Yazara or on the Harabayit, then it makes a difference. It has nothing to do with the Tumat. That's why, according to Tosafot, it's a little easier to read that piece versus the Tumat Bigadim, because then they should have answered it. And Tosafot asks it over here. According to Rashi, the question before was dealing whether the Begadim become Tamei when they go out of the Azara. Meaning that when a portion of the people leave the Azara, or a portion of the Behemah leaves the Azara, those that are inside, do their Begadim become Tamei? Now, obviously, the Gemara over here seems to answer that question. In order to deal with that issue, Rashi, in Rabbah Bar Rav Huna's Matni Law, when the Gemara changes the question to Gavrei from the Behemah, Rashi says the question over there is about the Sreifa, similar to what Tosfos says, that it's not about the Tumat Begadim of the Gavra. But now the question becomes, Rim nitma par sofor bifnim, or sofor b'chutz, in order to avoid the problem of our Gemara now being an answer for that, and then why is there a teiku in the Gemara before? Here we clearly see that if the Gavra is on the inside, there is no tum'ah. In addition, Rashi has a chiddush over here, that the Gemara is actually asking in the Havamina, a situation where people left the Azara, they became tme'im, and then they returned to the Azara, and all of a sudden their clothes are no longer tame'. Everything goes away, their tumat aguf, the tumat abigadim goes away, because they re-entered into the Azara. Tosfos says, what do you mean? Since when are the walls of the Azara mikveh tahara? Just because you return in there doesn't mean that you should no longer be tameh. Rather, Tosfos says the question of the Gemara in the original case, majority of the individuals on the outside, do you have a din of sreifa on the outside? Do you have a din of sreifa on the inside? It has nothing to do with tumat begadim whatsoever. Also here, when the Gemara first posed the question, when the people took the par out and then they brought it back in, those people that took it out are tameh, the begadim are tameh, nothing changes. The question now, according to Abamin, was the people on the inside now interacted with the animal, do they become tamei or do they not become tamei because the par was already outside? Maybe when they interact with the animal on the inside, it's as if they're working with an animal that's already outside of the Azara. To that, we answer up, can't have tumat begadim inside of the Azara. So then we amend the question to be Rabbi Loza's question, and here Tosfos will be the same as Rashi. We're talking about people on the outside dealing with the par on the inside, but a par who had already left. And that's the question. Is it classified as if they're working outside the Azara and they're tamei right away? Or do you have to wait for the par to come out in order for them to be tamei? Because you need both. You need the gavra on the outside and you need the rove of the pirate to be on the outside in order for the tuma to affect them. And that we leave with the teiku. Tarabanan. Parim upara v'seir mishtaleach. So we're talking about groups of chataota pnimiyot. Parim, in plural, refers to the par kohen mashiach and the pareda. Para is the paraduma. And the seir mishtaleach is from yom ha-kippurim. All these items. Ha-mishtaleach, the one who sends them out. Ha-sorfan, the one who burns them. Ha-motzian, and those that take them out. Mitamei begadim. Meaning that anybody is osek with these animals, they are mitamei begadim. Vehein atzman, and this is where the machlokas, this is where the issue is going to come up. They themselves ain mitamei begadim. If you come into contact, magal, with those behemot, those karbanot, they are not mitamei begadim. Aval mitamei mochlim mashkim divrei Rabbi Meir. They don't have tuma chamura. They're not classified as an avatuma to be mitamei an adam. Adam can only become tamei if something is an avatuma. Once it reaches the point of rishon atuma, it's not mitamei adam, it's not mitamei kelim. What is the status of these items? These parim and nisrafim, the para aduma, sir mishtaleach, not someone who's asuk in it, someone who's carrying or dealing with it. There, the Torah prescribes that they have tuma chamura, they're tamei, and to the tamei bigadim. Anything they're in contact with while they're in contact with the behema, they are mitamei, because they have that classification of a avatuma at that time. As soon as they separate, they become a rishon l'tuma. But what happens if they just simply come into contact with it? They're not asuk in it, they just touched it, or a kli came into contact with it. What's the story? So there, we say clearly there is no avatuma, so it can't be mitamei adam, and it cannot be mitamei kelim. What about foods that come into contact with it? Over here, Rabbi Meir claims that ochlim and mashkim that come into contact with it are nitma. They do become tamei. So it means that it has tuma kala, not tuma chamura, when you come into contact with the item. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. Chachamim amrim, para uparim, mitamim, ochlim and mashkim, siras veleach, enu mitamei shuchai. It's just a simple distinction here. The para duma and the parim are all dead. They're now, quote unquote, could be ochel. They're dead. So therefore, if you come into contact with them, they're able to produce tuma kala. They're able to be mitamei, ochlim and mashkim. The seir mishtaleach is still alive. When it's still alive, we don't have tuma on a bal chai. Bal chai is never tamei as long as it's alive, except for a human being. A human being can come tamei while he's still alive, but a behemot are only mikabel tuma once they are dead. So over here, the seir achai, mishtaleach, is still chai, so therefore it's not, it has no tuma associated with it.
What does that mean?
Oh, so that's the machok. machlokas here, we have to understand that the Gemara is going to ask that. The machlokas here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir is simply about the Seir Mishtaleach. What's the din when it's chai? So Mishtaleach enu metamei shul chai, v'achai enu metamei ochlim u'mashkim. Bishlam al Rabbi Meir. Here's Rabbi Meir's understanding why. Ketana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Dotana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Al kol zera zerua. Kol zera zerua is found in Parshat Shmini. It's speaking at the end of Parshat Shmini about hechsher the kabel tuma, that items that are growing, any type of grain or vegetation that's growing, it cannot be mikabel tuma until it is washed with a liquid. One of the seven mashkim come upon it. Mazramim she'ein sufam li'tamei tuma chamura. The only time you require hechsher in order to be mikabel tuma is when the item in the end will not give off a tuma chamura. V'tzrichin hechsher. Therefore, they need hechsher. Af kol she'ein sufam li'tama tuma chamura. So too, in anything in the end that will not generate tuma chamura, tzrichim hechsher. Yatzta. What's excluded from this? Nevelat of tohor. Nevelat of tohor, which we've discussed earlier in the Masechta. We did that with regards to the Malika and the Shechita. Nevela Tov Tahor is unusual in that the way it conveys its Tumah is when it's swallowed. When it's in Beit HaBliyah, not only is it Mitameh the Adam when he eats it, but it's Mitameh his Bigadim. So that's Tumah Chamura. Tumah Chamura is that it has the ability not only to be Mitameh the Adam, but also to cause the Adam to be able to Mitameh other items, including his Bigadim, or anything he's in contact with when he swallows it. So a Nevela Tov Tahor in the end will be Goreh Tuma Chamura. So because of that, in Tzricha Hechsher, it does not require Hechsher of Tuma. That means for two issues. One is, in order to be Mekabel Tuma, it will not require Hechsher. But beyond that, even before it's Goreim Tuma Chamura, it already has Tuma in and of itself. It does not have the Tuma of the level of when you swallow it. When you swallow it already, that Tuma is Tuma Chamura, meaning that it is Goreim, your Begadim, to come to me, anything that you're in contact with. But before that point in time, it still will have the ability to be mitamei other things, but just not Adam and Kelim. It'll have Tumah Kala until that point in time, because in the end it will generate Tumah Chamura.
What does it mean? What kind of Tzachim Hechsher?
This is the Shivat HaMashkim to come on it.
Even what is referring to something that's not something that does not grow?
Right, so only something that will not in the end have Tumah Chamura associated with it automatically, then it doesn't require Hechsher. So that's the determination whether you need Hechsher or not is what's the end status of this item. The end status of this item is that it won't automatically be goreim tuma chamura. Then it will require hechsher in order to be mekabel tuma.
For instance,
grains, foods, kli. The hechsher applies to items that don't automatically give off tuma, produce tuma. Hechsher is for something that is otherwise the status is neutral. So you need the hechsher in order to make it ra'ui to be mekabel tuma. Items that they in themselves will generate tuma and tuma chamura do not require a hechsher. Now they also will then beforehand be goreim tuma, and that's the case over here. So that's what we're trying to prove from here. If you look in the Avko, it's three lines down in Rashi, in the widest lines. Avko shein sofol itame kegon sharochlim aval hani para uparim b'sair ho v'sofam l'tame adam u'begadim. Just like the nevela ta'of, which in the end they're going to be tamei gadim kegon mitaskim hem in tzrichim echsher tuma. They don't require extra the tumah. Hilkach mitamo michaim. Therefore, they're able to give off tumah even when they're still alive. Ve'afagav dilo itamo yishar balei chayim da'alma. Even though all other balei chayim do not convey tumah, nevertheless, these items will convey tumah because they're not in the regular category of tumah. They're not in the regular category of things that require hechsher tumah because they're going to end up having tumah chamura. They end up having tumah chamura means that in the interim, they also convey tumah kala, and they do not require hechsher tumah. So over here, Rabbi Meir is suggesting, just like by nevelat of, which is an exception to the rule, and being an exception to the rule, it does not require hechsher, and it will be mitameh before you swallow it. Not to the extent where when you swallow it, it's mitameh tumah chamura, and it's mitameh begadim and kelim. But before that point in time, it'll have a lighter tumah, because it will end up being tumah chamura, number one, and number two is it will not require hechsher. So the same is true here with the Seir Mishtaleach. The Seir Mishtaleach, even though normally Balei Chaim do not convey tumah, number two is they require hechsher tumah because they're an ochel. Nevertheless, over here by the Seir Chai, it's like the Nevela Tov Tahor. In the end, it's going to be mitameh tumah chamura, therefore it does not require hechsher, and it will convey tumah even beforehand to be mitameh ochlim u'mashkim. That's how Rabbi Meir is going to learn. Rabbi Meir says, my Seir Chai looks exactly like my Nevela Tov Tahor, and that's how I'm going to use Rabbi Shmuel Shita to support me. The question is now, what about the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon are bind here. Why? Because the Rabbanon say by the Parim and the Paraduma that it does convey tuma to uchlim mashkim. Whereas when it comes to the Seir Achai, they say no. Well, what are they doing? Are they holding like Rabbi Shmuel, or they're not holding like Rabbi Shmuel? Well, they need to hold like Rabbi Shmuel, because otherwise, why would the Parah Duman, the Parim, convey tuma to Ochlim and Mashkim? They have yet to become Tameh, and they have yet to have any Hekshir. The only reason it would work is because of the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. On the other hand, if they hold like Rabbi Shmuel, then why isn't the Seir Achai also conveying tuma? If you say they don't hold like Rabbi Shmuel, because that's why the Seir Achai is not conveying tuma, then the same should be true by the Parah Duma and the Parim Nisafim. So that's what we're going to read in the Gemara now. El Rabbanon, eat luhu the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. If they hold the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, afilu seir mishtaleach, then even seir mishtaleach should be able to convey tuma kala now. Vilele, if they don't hold the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, afilu parah parim. You know, then by parah and parim, it shouldn't convey tuma to ochlim and mashkim. The Rabbanon agreed by parah duma and parim nisafim that they do convey tuma. So they are holding the Tana Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, so ki at Rabdim Amrei b'marov they say in Eretz Yisrael, tzuchim hechshe tuma mimakom acher. So if you look at Rashi, the Rashi is, again, it's about 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 lines up. 8 lines up in the widest lines from the bottom. It's the middle of that Rashi. It says, Aval, in general, when it comes to Tuma, you need a sheretz, or you need a nevela to touch it in order to make it Tameh. Aval, Misha sofeu lo Tameh Tuma Chamura, ain't serich li gabi Tuma. It doesn't have to touch, it can come into contact Tuma. Uma Tameh Tuma Tochlim Me'ilav, Kigom Paro Parim. Aval, Chazi lo Tuma Mihaba Alma Beinan. We still need an item that in other places in Tuma is Mekabel Tuma. Velo Balei Chaim, Dolashkan Beimot Balei Chaim Mitamim. So that's what they said. It has to be something that is Mekabel Tuma in other places. So yes, it automatically conveys a light form of Tuma when it will end up being Tuma Chamura. But that's only when the item at this point in time has a status of something that would be Mekabel Tuma. So by Parim and Parah Duma, we're talking about carcasses now. We're talking about animals that are dead. Animals that are dead have tuma in other places. So therefore, over here, they will convey tuma kala, because they will in the end convey tuma chamura. But by the Seir Mishtalech, which is alive right now, yes, it will end up being or conveying tuma chamura. But as of right now, it's alive. If we look anywhere else in tuma, there is no such thing as a Baal Chaim that is tameh. Well, Baal Chaim can't be tameh, then this can't automatically convey tuma kala now, even though in the end it will be tuma chamura, because it has to be in a state of being or a status of something that would otherwise be kabel tuma in other situations, like the nevela ta'of. The nevela ta'of, at this point in time, if it was any other food, it could be mekabel tuma. So therefore, before you swallow it, it will convey tuma kala, because it has a class, it's in the category of items that could be mekabel tuma. So things that are alive can't be mekabel tuma mimakom acher. Forget about tuma chamura, they can't become tameh whatsoever. So therefore, they also cannot convey tuma in and of themselves. Whereas something that could be mekabel tuma from somewhere else, there it can convey tuma kala by itself. All right, so that's the position of the chachamim. So now, by Rabbi Elazar, parim and israfim, 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 mahu, shitamu ochlim umashkim bifnim kibachutz. Can they convey tuma over here? Well, if they haven't got to the point where they're tami tuma chamura, do they give off tuma kala? So the Gemara says, mechusr yitziyah ki mechusr maseh dami. The lack of leaving is as if it lacks maaseh still in the item. So he says, "Boter debayi hader pashto." After he asked the question, he answered it. Mechutzu yitziyah k'mechusar maaseh dami. The fact that it lacks the ability to go out, then it's k'mechusar maaseh dami. It's as if it's mechusar maaseh, which will now change what we said or modify what we said before. We said before that an item that will end up conveying tuma chamura automatically conveys tuma kala. But that's only if it's in the process of going towards tuma chamura. But when is it in the process of going towards tuma chamura? That's when it's leaving. When it's leaving the azara. While it's still in the azara, it's not in the process of reaching tuma chamura. It still is mechusa yitziyah. It still needs to leave the azara in order to get that tuma chamura. So since it needs the yitziyah, it also will not convey tuma kala at this point. Once it's left the azara, once it's taken out of the azara, then it's no longer mechusar maaseh. It's not lacking any action in it, any part of the process. Therefore, if they stopped, for instance, they took it out of the azara, they stopped the harbayit, they put it down. If the food came into contact with it, then it would convey tuma kala, because now it's automatically going to give off tuma chamura. Anybody who comes to contact works with it, will right away get Tumah Chamura. So it's not missing any action to convey the Tumah Chamura. Whereas when it's still in the Azara, it will not convey Tumah Chamura. Someone picks it up in the Azara, nothing happens to them. They must leave the Azara with it in order for it to convey Tumah. So this is from Mechusar Maaseh, there is no Tumah Kala, because there's no automatic Tumah Chamura. So only once it's left the Azara, there it conveys Tumah Chamura automatically when you're mitasek with it, therefore it's conveying Tumah Kala. That's the answer question, as well as the answer of Rabbi Elazar with this question. So now, by mine Rabbi Abba Mar Shmuel, or maybe Rabbi Abba Mar Mamel, may Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Nevelat of Tahor the Rabbi Meir. So now let's go to Nevelat of Tahor the Rabbi Meir, meaning that the Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel that says when you swallow it, it conveys Tumah Chamura. At what point does it convey Tumah Kala? We said here that Mechusar Maaseh makes it that it's not conveying Tumah Kala. When does it reach the status where it automatically gives Tumah Chamura? Mao, when will it be automatic that it gives off Tumah Chamura so that it also conveys Tumah Kala at that point in time? When are we at the point where we know for sure it will give Tumah Chamura, therefore it gives off Tumah Kala? Right, Mechusar Maaseh makes a problem. That's what we just said by Rabbi Elazar. So where do you leave the point of Mechusar Maaseh? So the Gemara is going to lay it out for us. Mao, Shitameh b'kazayit. What's the din that'll be Mitameh b'kazayit? Meaning kazayit will convey Tumah with the kazayit. Kum Tumah Kala. Demachta la'ara, lo tibaylach. If it's sitting on the ground, this is your point. David, if it's sitting on the ground, nothing, there's nothing to talk about. Sitting on the ground, there's no reason to believe that it'll ever be mitamei Tumah Chamura, because someone has to swallow it. It's sitting on the ground, there's no reason to believe that. May never get there, that's what you said before. Denokit bepumei, if it's in his mouth, lo tibayilach, there we have no question that it's definitely going to get swallowed. Our assumption is that if it's in his mouth, it will be swallowed. So therefore, it of course conveys Tumah at that point in time. Tumah Kala, meaning if there's other food in his mouth at the time that he's chewing on it, it will convey Tumah Kala to the other foods in his mouth. The only question is, Kiti Bailach, the Nokit Le Biyodeh. He has it in his hand. Now, why? This isn't, I'm just going to mention here, we're going to get to this mission in a second in Taros. The reason is that the underlying assumption is that Nevelat Uf Tahor is not Ra'ui La'Achila. People wouldn't otherwise eat the Nevelat Uf Tahor. People don't eat it. So since they don't eat it, it requires an active machshava, an active something to make it ra'ui la'achila. So if it's in your mouth and you're chewing it, certainly you intend to eat it now. If it's on the ground, we don't assume there's automatic intention for eating it. It doesn't automatically have a sense or a tumat ochlim because it's missing machshava. So the question here is now when it's in your hand on the way to your mouth. And that's where the question is going to kiti bailach, naki b'liyadeh. Mechusar kreva k'mechusar masadami. The fact that only thing standing between you having this in your mouth and it being, you know, on the ground is the fact that you have to just move your hand towards your mouth. It's in your hand already, and therefore you want to get it to your mouth. Is that considered mechusar maaseh or not? He says mechusar kreva lav ke mechusar maaseh dami. The fact that it's already in your hand, that's already far enough that it will convey Tumah Kala at this point in time, because your intent is to place it into your mouth. That intent to place it in your mouth is enough. So as opposed to by the yitziah of the parim nesafim the paraduma, where your mechusar yitziah is ke Mechusar Maaseh Dami. Over here, the Mechusar Kreva is not classified as Mechusar Maaseh Dami, because it just requires you to move your hand to your mouth. That's not considered Mechusar Maaseh. That's considered as if it's in the process of going to Tumah Chamura. That's your intent. That's what you're going to do. All you have to do is move your hand to your mouth. Therefore, it will convey Tumah Kala at this point in time. It's an HV. We're going to challenge that assumption. Shlosha Asar Dvarim Nemru B'Nivlat Of Tahor. It's the first Mishnah in Tarot. There are 13 things said about Nevelat of Tahor. We bumped into this mission earlier, because we're going to see in a second, when it comes to Malika and Shechita of an Oaf. Does Malika and Shechita of an Oaf mitaheret midei Nevela? If you find you do Malika or Shechita of an Oaf and it's a Trefa, we had a three-way machlokas between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Yossi, whether that is mitaher the Oaf from becoming a Nevela. That's the latter part of that Mishnah in the first Mishnah in Tarot. We are now dealing with the first half. We're going to get to that latter half again. But the first half part of the Mishnah says that these are the things. The things about the Nevelat of Tahor is, number one, it needs a machshava. That we just discussed now. That the Of Tahor is not automatically assumed to be an ochel. It only becomes an ochel when you have a machshava to eat it. That's number one. That's from Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tana Debei Shmuel taught us that if it's in the end, sofo litamei tuma chamura, then it doesn't require hechsher. So Nevelat of Tahor, in order to be mitamei, does not need a hechsher. Umitamei tumat ochlim b'kabeitza, and it's mitamei tumat ochlim b'kabeitza with a kabeitza worth conveys tumat Ochlin. That's Tuma Kala. My love, Rabbi Meir here. This is Rabbi Meir. Here, this is the question. The Eitave is on the Shitat Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir before says that if something is Metamei Tuma Chamura, that it also is automatically Metamei Tuma Kala. Now, when we said that it's Metamei Tuma Kala, we said we suspend rules of Tuma in other places. How do we know that? Because by the Seir Mishtaleach, even though it's a Baal Chai, it's able to be Metamei, it's able to convey Tuma. So over here, what is the requirement of Tuma to be Metamei? If you are talking about Tuma Kala, then you would require a Kebetza to convey Tuma. Kebetza is the Tumat Ochlim. In order to convey Tumat Ochlim, you need a Kebetza worth of the Ochlim that are Tmeim to convey Tuma. On the other hand, if you're talking about Tuma Chamura, like the Nevela Ta'of when you're Boleya it, all you need is a Kazayit of Achila. So now let's think, in Shitat Rabbi Meir, within Shitat Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir believes that if you're going to end up with Tuma Chamura, that means that the Tuma Kala beforehand is conveyed, plus you don't have any of the other requirements of Tuma that are associated with this item. Normally a Baal Chai would not convey Tuma, but over here it will, because in the end it will be Tuma Chamura. So here too, by the case of the Nevelat of Tahor, the Mishnah states, what is the amount of the item that conveys Tuma over here? It says a Kebetza worth. Well, Kebetza is a rule with normal Tumat Ochlim. That's a rule that applies to all Tumat Ochlim. Anything that is Tamei, if you have a Kebetza worth, it can be Metamei other Ochlim. On the other hand, what's the Tumah in Vela Ta'of? When you swallow it, how much do you have to swallow? Only a Kazayit. So if Rabbi Meir is right that we suspend the normal rules of Tumah, then over here it should also be Metamei Ayudei Kazayit. Why does the Mishnah require a Kebetza worth instead of a Kazayit's worth? Rashi claims that the case here is Alma Benochili Yadei Askinan. He must be holding it in his hand. Because if it's on the ground, why does it need Hechsher? If it's on the ground, we said it doesn't automatically become an Nevelat Tov Tahor. And it's not so full of Tumah Chamura. So then it doesn't require, why does it not require Hechsher? Of course it requires Hechsher. If it's already in his mouth, then what do you need a Machshava for? Of course it's an Ochel. So Rashi says the case must be that he's holding it in his hand. Now, if the case in our Mishnah is a case of Nokit Lebiyodeh, and the Mishnah says that when he's Nokit Lebiyodeh, you still require a Kebetza Ochlim, that means that the Mishnah does not view Ochel that is in his hand as something that will ultimately end up as being Tuma Chamura, and therefore conveys Tuma Kala. Because if it did, then it should only be a Kazayit here, like Rabbi Meir's Shita, that when we have a din of Tuma Chamura in the end, the Tuma Kala comes and suspends the normal dinim of Tuma, and therefore only you need a Kazayit here to convey the Tuma. The fact that the Mishnah says you require a Kebetza in order to convey Tuma indicates that the Mishnah doesn't see that as automatically coming to the being Tuma Chamura. Now, we just saw that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, in answering the question of Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, said that when it's in your hand, it's not Mechusar Masa, and it's as if it's going to end up as Tuma Chamura. If he was right, the Mishnah should say Kezayit and not Kebetza. That's what Rashi learns the question. Tosafot, on the other hand, doesn't like the way Rashi figured out that it was Nokit Lebiyodeh. But rather, Tosafot gives a different reason, which is that Tosafot believes that if it's lying on the ground, it could still be Sofo L'Tuma Chamura. But everybody agrees that if it's lying on the ground, it's got to be the size of a Kebetza to be classified as a Sofo L'Agia L'Tuma Chamura. The only question is, if you are somewhat closer than that, maybe we reduce the level of requirements for Tuma. And that's the question here. If it was on the ground and it was a Kebetza, so that'd be obvious. The Mishnah doesn't need to teach us a Chiddush like that. It's only a question if it's in his hand. If it's in his hand, then the Mishnah is telling us about a hand and still saying Kebetza. If it's still saying Kebetza, that goes against Rabbi Chir Bar Abba's answer to Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel that it's as if not Mechusar Maseh, and it should be a Kezayit. Now, right, we say, no, it's not Rabbi Meir's not the author of this Mishnah. The Rabbanon are the authors of this Mishnah. That will solve our problem, because they believe that the normal rules of Tuma apply. That's why by the Seir Mishleach, when it's Chai, it doesn't convey Tuma. Because normal rules of Tuma say, Abal Chai doesn't mitameh, doesn't give over Tuma. So Gemara says, how can you claim the Rabbanon are the authors of this Mishnah? You have the first half of the Mishnah that says that you don't require Hechsher. Who's the Tana that told us that you don't require Hechsher? That was Rabbi Meir, we saw before, who holds like Tana to be Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Masoret HaShatz both jump over here and say, wait a minute, the Rav Chaim HaChamim agreed to Tanya Dabei Rabbi Shmuel's principles. They just didn't apply it to the Seir HaMishtaleach. Masoret HaShatz, you can see right here, look, all he writes on the side is, Tzorech Iyun Rav. Rabbi Akiva Eger asks the question, he lays it out, and he says also, if you look at the Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, Yesh La'ayin, HaMaskin and El, the Gam Rabbonim, Tzorech Iyun Rav, Tanya Dabei Rabbi Shmuel.
Anyway, it's a
totally
the problem
with the Masoret HaShatz. Exactly. So both of them leave it as a Tzorech Iyun Rav. They have no idea why the Gemara concludes here that this has to be Rabbi Meir. The Chamim hold in the exact same position, as long as it's not a Baal Chai, as long as it's something that could be Mikabel Tumah. Now, the Gemara will continue and says, okay, so Rabbi Meir, Umidureish Rabbi Meir, Seifa Nami Rabbi Meir. So if the ratio of Hechsher is following Rabbi Meir's Shita, then obviously the Seifa, talking about Tumat Tochlim, also follows the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So Meir says, Midiriya, Hadagita, Vadagita. No, yeah, you're right. The beginning is Rabbi Meir is there, and this will be the Chachamim. This is the sefer that we saw earlier on in the Masechta and Samach Tet. Shchitam likatam b'taheret shrifatam mitumatah. Rabbi Meir believes he is doresh a kal v'chomer and then a mei matzino. Kal v'chomer and mei matzino to teach us that the shchita v'nof and the mlikah v'of are b'taheret shrifatam mitay tumatah. Manch ma'ilei hai svara. Who gives us that svara? Rabbi Meir. So Reisha Misefa Rabbi Meir. Now you're going to have up a Mishnah where the Hechsher is referenced by Rabbi Meir. Seifa is Rabbi Meir because it's talking about the Hechsher, Ayudei, the Malika. Yehuda says Shechita and Malika don't work whatsoever. It's always in the Vela. Rabbi Yossi has a Shechita Beinayim that Shechita helps, but that Malika does not help. So if this says that both help, that's a Shechita of Rabbi Meir. So now you have Hechsher, which is Shechita of Rabbi Meir. You have Shechita and Malika, which is Shechita of Rabbi Meir. And you have this Tuma, but Tuma conveyed only Ayidei Kabeitza. That's the Shita of the Rabbonon. So you have Rabbi Meir, Rabbonon, Rabbi Meir. Man, so the Gemara says, that's what we're going to have. Reisha Seifa, Rabbi Meir, Mitziata, Rabbonon. The Gemara says, yeah. Yes, in Ochanami, Reisha Seifa is Rabbi Meir, Mitziata, Rabbonon. I will point out here one thing that Rashi, the Shitato, and Shas says over here. If you look in Tzricha Machshava, this Rashi says, Leads the rate, Pachot mi Kazayit, Meno, Lashlim, Pachot mi Kabeitza. Less than a Kazayit of this will be Mitztaiv to another Kabeitza of Ochlim, the Kabel. I explained that the Gebetz was to convey Tumah. And that is the Shita of all the Rishonim throughout Shas, that in order to convey Tumat Ochlim, you need a Kebetzah. To receive Tumat Ochlim, Bekoshu, any amount. Rashi, throughout Shas, has this unusual opinion in many places. Some places he actually sold there himself. But many places he says, even for Tumat Ochlim to be Nitkabel, you need a Kebetzah. And that's Rashi here, consistent with the Shita, which says over here, that you need a Kebetzah in order to receive Tumat Ochlim, not to convey Tumat Ochlim. So now the Gemara says, Amrale Rav Hamnuna the Rabbi Zera, Lo Teiti Vakarech, don't sit down, Ad Amartli Hamilta, until you explain to me this issue. Nevelat Of Tahor, Li Rabbi Meir. The Nevelat Of Tahor, according to Rabbi Meir, which is conveying Tumat Kala, right, even before, that it conveys Tumat Kala, even before it's conveying Tumat Hamara, Monim La Rishon Vesheni, O Ein Monim La Roshi Vesheni. Does it give off Tumah? What is the level of Tumah that it conveys? I already told you the answer to this because I said to you that when you swallow it, it conveys Tumah Chamura. When you are beforehand, it's only conveying Tumah Kala. The difference between Tumah Chamura and Tumah Kala is that a Tumah Chamura is something that's an Ava Tumah that can be Metamei Adam Vikelim. Tumah Kala is something that's a Rishon the Tumah that can only convey Tumah to Ochlim and Mashkim, cannot be conveyed to Kelim. His question is, this Tumah Kala beforehand, what type of Tumah is it? Monim Rishon Visheni. Monim Rishon Visheni is implication is that it's an Ava Tumah. An Ava Tumah can make something into a Rishon and then into a Sheni. Obviously, it's not literally an Ava Tumah, but does it act like an Ava Tumah? Does this Tumah Kala convey to the next item Rishon the Tumah? If it conveys Rishon the Tumah, then a Rishon can make a Sheni the Tumah. If it itself is a Rishon the Tumah, and then it conveys a Sheni the Tumah, in Chulin, Sheni the Tumah is the last level. So it would only convey Tumah to one item, and that'll be it. So that's the question here. Does this item have the power to convey like an Ava Tumah and start a process of Rishon and Sheni? Or is this item like a regular Ochel Tameh? There's a Rishon the Tumah, can only convey to a Sheni the Tumah. So that's the question. Monim la Rishon Sheni, o ein monim Roshim Sheni, or don't. If you don't, monim Roshim Sheni means that it's already a Rishon the Tumah, and therefore it cannot cause a Rishon to come about. So really, Kohecha demetame Adam bimaga monim bo Rishon Sheni. Anytime an item can be metame an Adam by through contact, then you have Rishon Visheni. Kohecha de ein metame adam b'maga. If it does not give off tumah to an adam b'maga in contact, ein monim bo Rishon Visheni. So over here, we know that the Nevelach of Tahor does not convey Tumah through Maga. It does not convey Tumah to an Adam through touching it. If he comes into contact, you pick it up. There is no Tumah conveyed to the Adam. So therefore, there is no Rishon and Sheni. And the Tumah that it gives over is only a Tumah Kala. Baminei Rabbi Zera Rabbi Ami Barchi, Rabbi Ami Law, Rabbi Avin Barkana. Ha! The Tanya, this Brita that we have in Taharot, Chibirei Ochlim Eidei Mashkim. You have uchlim that are connected through liquids. Chibur the tumah kala, vein chibur the tumah chamura. It says there in the Brita that if you have, for instance here, you have two heft zeitim of nevelot. Nevela is something that is an avatumah. It conveys tumah to Adam. Person who touches a nevela becomes tameh. It conveys tumah through masa. So therefore, it's tumah chamura. But you have a chatzik zayit on one side, a chakazayit on the other side. So they're not connected. So if a person touches the chatzikazayit, it will not convey tumah, because there's not enough there to be classified as a nevela. So what happened now? But they were joined by a liquid. These two chatzikazayitim are joined by a liquid. Well, since they're joined by a liquid, do they become a single entity now? So the right tarot says that is only true for mashkimar chibur, the tumah kala, vein chibur, the tumah chamura. They only are work or enough to allow tumah to be conveyed to ochlim and mashkim, but they do not make a chibur, they do not make a connection to these chazik zaytim to convey tumah to an adam. So he says again, monim bo rishon v'sheni, or in monim bo rishon v'sheni. The tumah that's given over, do you have rishon and sheni or not? So I'm like, kohechi de metamei adam, monim bo rishon v'sheni. If it can be metamei adam, then there's rishon and sheni. Ain metamei adam. If it doesn't metame adam, then ain monim bo rishon v'sheni. So also over here. Over there, the chibur works only to convey tumah at the level of tumah kala. So therefore, there's no rishon and sheni. Whereas it is a chibur, not a chibur, for conveying it as a level of an avatumah. Since it's not on the level of avatumah, it cannot be mitame adam, and it won't be counting rishon and sheni. It will only be on the level of a rishon. It will only be classified as a rishon l'tumah when it conveys tumah kala here. Why is there a difference between the chibur aldea liquid for tumah kala versus tumah chamura? Rashi says, over here explains, betama lo yadana. I have no idea why this is true. So he quotes right from Tarot, and he says, I don't know why it works in the Mishnah Tarot. Tosfos over here questions Rashi's explanation of the Gemara here about what the chibur is. He says, maybe we have to explain a case, and this is what Tosfos thinks in the end. It's not a liquid, but where the item itself dissolved or disintegrated into a liquid. Where the item itself, the meat, rotted to the point. It went to a point where it's still nevela, but it let off some liquid. And that liquid joins with the other nevela, and that's why there's a chibur over here. Because if it's an independent liquid, Tosfos says that that mashkim mechaber ochlim the kabel tumah the tamei acherim, that doesn't work. And a third liquid that comes in here, it doesn't work, because even if they're on a skin together, if you have a chatzik zayit here and a chatzik zayit there on a ore, they're not mitzdareif to make it into a tumah chamura, to make it into a single kazayit. So why should liquids be mechaber them? Tosfos over here says that it's a case where it has a liquid oozing out of it, nimochu, and therefore the joining of them is done by they themselves. It's not a third object that's coming in to be mechaber them. It's they themselves that are causing the chibur through a liquid between them. And that's why over here we classify as a liquid, as a chibur. But again, the chibur is only good enough for tumah kala and not good enough for tumah chamura. So Tara Banan, by the part, it says it has to be taken outside of the three machanot in order to convey tumah. Kan, by Yom Kippurim, it only mentions one machanem, mechutz lemachanem, is machane achat. Lo malachah, so what does that teach you? So we have a hekesh between them. We have a hekesh between Parlam Dabashot Tzibor and the partial Yom Kippurim. So why in one place is it telling us three machanot and one place is telling us machane achat? Kevin Shiyatza chutz lemachane achat, mitame bigadim, vihi gufa minolon. How do you know that itself? The Tara Banan. But see it, kol ha-paro mechutz lemachaneh. The part going Mashiach, it says, let's see it, kol ha-paro mechutz lemachaneh. Chutz, the gimel machanot. It has to be taken out of all three machanot. Adam, erchutz, the gimel machanot, doin ola menachaneh achat. How do you know it's meaning all three machanot? Maybe it only means out of one machaneh. Shumar, but par ha-ida, when it says by the part of Dabar Shibur, mechutz lemachaneh. She'in tzarech lemar. Why is it telling us by there, mechutz lemachaneh? Shrekvar ne'amar, it already says there, kashir, sarafet ha-paro rishon. It says by the part of Dabar Shibur, you should do to it exactly like you did to the the Parkoin Mashiach. Well, the Parkoin Mashiach, it says take it out of the Machaneh. So why do I need another take it out of the Machaneh by the Par Ha'olam Davar Shel Tzibor? Litein lo Machaneh Shnia. That's until another one. Shomer Michutz lo Machaneh Badeshin. When it comes to Otzat HaDeshin, it also says Michutz lo Machaneh. Shein Zarech Lamar. Shek Vari Namar. Al Shefech HaDeshin Yisareif. Brought out to the place where the Shefech HaDeshin is. Litein lo Machaneh Shlishit. Mean that the Parim Nesarfim are the same place as where the Shefech HaDeshin is. Well, so then why do you have to tell me that the Shefech HaDeshin, that's Michutz l'machaneh? Of course it's Michutz l'machaneh. It's in the same place that the Parim are Nisrafim. We know the Parim Nisrafim already are out in Machaneh. So now I have one Chutz l'machaneh, which is necessary. I have two that are unnecessary. That gives me three times Chutz l'machaneh. So now you have three machanot that it has to go outside of. So that's Higuf Aminolan. How we know by the Parim Dovashel Tzibor that you need to go out of Chutz l'shosh machanot? That's from this limud that we have by the Parkoin Mashiach and the Parim Dovashel Tzibor that has to go out. They're extraneous Chutz l'machaneh. Therefore I have outside of the three machanot. Then I have by Par Yom HaKippurim, it says Chutz l'machaneh achat. So now I have three in one. What do I do? It means that out of three is where it needs to go. Out of one is where it conveys Tuma. And we know that there's a hekesh between Par Yom HaKippurim and the Par Hilam Dobar Shel Tzibur. So now Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Ha'alem Chutz l'machaneh ma'obile. Rabbi Shimon, what does he do with this Michutz l'machaneh? Because Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah disagrees. Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino mitamim shutzato or beruban. Rabbi Shimon says that the Parim and Nisrafim only convey Tuma once you start to light them. Once the fire is caught to Rova, then that's when they're mitameh. Until that point in time, there's nothing to talk about. There is no Tuma. So then what does he do with the Michutz l'machaneh? Mibai Levi Tani Rabbi Eliezer. Omer, Nermar Kan, Chutz l'machaneh, V'Nermar Lahalan, Michutz l'machaneh. It says over here, by Yom HaKippurim, Chutz l'machaneh, which is the one that he doesn't need. And it says, Nermar Lahalan, Chutz l'machaneh, by Parah Aduma. Ma Lahalan, Chutz l'Gimel Machanot, just like by the Par Yom HaKippurim, has to be outside of the Chutz l'Shosh Machanot, so too by the Parah Aduma, has to be outside of the Shlosh Machanot. Ma Lahalan, Chutz l'Gimel, Chutz l'Machanot, Ma Lahalan, Mizrach Shel Yerushalayim. By the Parah Aduma, it says it's be done on the eastern side of you. Because it says Vizal Nochach Pnei Ol Moed, and the Ol Moed is found on the western side, right? We face the west. So if you're going to be on the mountain opposite the Ol Moed, you're going to be on east of Yerushalayim. So that's by the Parah Aduma. So too by the Shefech HaDeshin needs to be on the eastern side of Yerushalayim. Avkan the Mizracha Shel Yerushalayim Ela LeRabbanon Heche Sarif Lehu. So according to Rabbanon, where do they burn it? Because they don't have this limud of the eastern side. Kedetanya Heicha Nisrafim LeTzafon Yerushalayim and Chachamim. They do it on the northern side of Yerushalayim. Chutz l'shlosh machanot. As Rashi explains, the reason here is because kol ma'aseh chatat b'tzafon. Anything we do with the chatat, we favor doing it in the north. Just like in the Mikdash, we shech the chatat on the northern side, and we do all the avodot chatat on the northern side. So too, when it comes to chataot that are taken outside of the Mikdash, we're going to favor the north. We're going to go to the northern side, just like we do in the Mikdash. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Beit HaDeshin Nisrafim, that they're burnt where the Beit HaDeshin is. A Beit HaDeshin means that there has to be Deshin there already. The Makom Shefech HaDeshin is a place where they have to be burnt. Amar Rava, Man Tana de Pali Galeid, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Who's the Tana that argues on Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Tanya Shefech HaDeshin Yisrafim, Shehe Sham Deshin. That will be the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer, Shehe Mikomo Mishupach. Not that it has to be Deshin there, but it has to be a place that is an incline. Place that things that will roll off of it. Who says that they're arguing about the deshin aspect of it? Maybe they're just arguing about the aspect of mishupach. Where Abaye says, how do you know that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is really the one that argues on Rabbi Elazar Galili? Maybe they're arguing about the incline-decline aspect of it, not about the deshin aspect of it. There we leave it. Now we have a ton of Rabbanan, a sereif, mitameh beganim. Whoever works with the Parim Nisrafim is doing the sereifa, becomes tameh. The law makes it the door, but not the one who actually kindles the fire. The one who sets up the pyre, he's also not mitameh begadim. Bezu a sereif. Who's the one? What's a sereif? If he's not kindling the fire, he's not setting up the pyre. What is he? Then he's the one. I'm a seyev b'shat sereifa. The one who's stoking it and making sure that it's burning there. Yachol b'shemnasu efer. Once it becomes ashes, mitameh begadim. Tamalomar otam. Otam mikibedem begadim. When they are still parim nisrafim, then they are mitameh begadim. But once they reach the point where they're ashes, they're no longer mitameh begadim. Shnasu efer im mitameh begadim. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Is it otam mitamim begadim? That they are mitamim begadim. Nitach habasar im mitamim begadim. Once the basar begins to dissolve and it's being consumed by the fire, then im mitamim begadim. Might be nayu. What's the difference between him? Amarava, you can be nayu with the shavya charucha, that he made it into a charucha. So that is nitach habasar, but it's not yet ashes. It's something that already is reached a point where it's nitacha basar. The basar is no longer basar, but it hasn't reached a point where it's ashes. So at that point, Rabbi Shimon will say, the mitzvah is over, and you will not be tamei. On the other hand, the Tanakama, the Chachamim will believe that at that point it still be mitamei, because it hasn't yet reached the point of afer, and therefore it's still be considered to be otam, that you're asuk by the parim and the sefim. Okay, we'll stop over here.